Grace to you and peace from God our Creator, Jesus our Savior, and the Holy Spirit at work among us this day. Amen. I'm going to today, we're ending this short series from the book of Acts, and we know people don't come every Sunday, and so I'm going to do a little recapping about what we have covered since Easter. All through that season, we have shared the good news according to the book of Acts. Pastor Heidi started us along the way. Deacon Jody last week brought the good news, and I stood in a few times in between. But this is this weird moment where we've reached the end of this series, but we're back at the beginning of the book. So we're doing this in kind of backwards order. Today, looking at the beginning of Acts, we get this phrase, "You will be my witnesses." It's no condition. It's not if you do this, then you will be, but just a statement, "You will be." And in that statement, I think there's a lot of assumption about who we are and how we go out into the world. And I think one of them is that we might somehow begin to get some coherent sense of who Jesus is. And I'm going to argue to you that that just isn't happening, because it didn't happen for the disciples who got to walk with him. Those men, fishermen, tax collectors, biblical scholars, it seems, his siblings, they, each one of them, understood how Jesus was going to fit into the mold of Messiah and bring about eternal life in different ways. And so as they went and they witnessed to the breath of God and to the invitation and opportunity to go forward. So I want to start with a question of observation. What do you see? This is a famous picture. Many of you will have seen this in the last couple of years. What do you notice, or what do you know about this picture? The guy in the center swinging the golf club, that's Tiger Woods. The guy who got really famous for a short minute of time is the guy on the left, as we're looking at it, standing there holding his drink and actually watching. He actually went so viral that he got a contract with the company who owns that can and has merchandise and things with his face on it that has sold hundreds of thousands of things. But did you notice the five other people who don't have their phones raised? None of them became famous. But immediately over his right shoulder to our left, there's a man in the kind of orangey shirt. His phone's down on his thigh. Do you see over his head, there's a guy who's clearly on somebody's shoulders? That phone that's by him is not his, but someone else's. What about the woman peeking from behind in the second row? Can you find her? Just to Tiger's left as we're looking, there she is with her sunglasses, peeking. And then on the right of the picture, there are two more men. One's interesting. He's watching as though he's really evaluating. He's got his hand on his chin. Do you see that? And then there is that man with his hand, water bottle, just in from the right of the picture, two or three people there. None of those folks went viral or had merchandise made with their face on it. But Mark did. What about, did you notice the clear bags in the picture? How many are there? Three. One on the far left as we look at it, and then the two that are a little more prominent. That's typical of an event, right? The people in our organization or in our community who run these kind of events, they're going to say, yep, clear bag policy everywhere we go. And then last thing, did you notice the two people who are working? They're not there just observing, but they're working. You have to look to the far edges for those two. On the left of the picture is the camera. It's just inside. And then on the right is the sound man. That's how you hear that sweet swing of the swish of the club and the impact of the ball, is somebody standing there with a directional mic like that. If we do this together and we talk through it and we have somebody who's kind of looked at it already, we can notice a lot of little details in a something like this. I'm curious, though, if we don't talk among ourselves and we limit, I'm not going to guide you, just exactly what we'll notice. Are you ready? I'm going to give you a few seconds counting in my head to notice everything that's happening in this next slide. Ready? What university was it? They wore red. Across the front of two of the four pictures is the word Bearcats, and in the corner of everyone, Bearcats TV. What university was it? Cincinnati. Did you notice the reporter? Anybody look at him? The same guy in every picture. The same guy in every one of those. What you noticed, right, was what was happening in the background. The silliness of college baseball. What was happening? Jousting in catcher's gear, which is pretty epic, right? Stand behind there. Do you see the guy swimming through the air? Doing the stroke? What about the pig roast? Did you figure out that that's what that was? Being carried through there? And then the last one, anybody? Yeah, kind of Pharaoh being carried. They had the rakes from the grounds crew and were waving them like palm fronds. We could go into further detail about what we noticed there. But my contention is that in a lot of ways, this is what the experience of the disciples was as they were in those 40 days that we're just ending, being taught by Jesus from all of their different backgrounds, with all of the different things that they have in their heads, they found themselves drawn to this little piece, looking at the things that maybe weren't the front and center, and Jesus trying to bring them back again and again to say, this is who I am and who you are called to be. I think then that that's what the book of Acts is about, is the community trying to discern together what is it that they saw in the person and work of Jesus, and how is it that they're going to tell that story going forward in a way that makes sense. Thankfully, there were no catcher's outfits jousting matches, right? But there was this man who did not fit the world, who didn't fit into the cycles of the political empire at the time, who did not meet their expectations for Messiah, but who was the Son of God. So what I want to do is just look back at Acts as we have the last few weeks and help you see it in the way that I see it. So there are some key moments. We read one of them today, the ascension of Jesus and the promise of the Holy Spirit and their witnessing. We're going to hear next week on Pentecost Sunday, wear your red, we're going to hear then the story of this miracle of speaking and hearing. Remember that? There's these Galileans, mostly uneducated, they're speaking languages they don't know. But the second part of the miracle, all of those believers who are gathered from around the world, it's a metropolitan city, Jerusalem, so people come from everywhere, they hear in their own language. The gospel is bigger than just the one moment in time, the one place. Then you get Stephen's death, and this is just a choice. There are a number of moments there. But if you remember Peter's speech on Pentecost and a couple of others, they're doing that work of pointing back and saying how we see Jesus is in light of everything that's come before. The understanding of the Messiah, the hope of God given to God's people over time, all along the way, it led to this person of Jesus Christ, and his life, his death, his resurrection was always meant to be part of that story. And Stephen goes one step further, and that's why I highlighted it. He then does that thing that is discipleship. He quite literally picks up his cross and goes to his death for his faith. Then you get the very next chapter, as we've summarized that this is part of that bigger story, the shift into this world that is outside of Jerusalem. And it's Philip, the evangelist, they call him, interacting with an Ethiopian. It's an Ethiopian believer, a man who came to Jerusalem to worship, but who couldn't go in. Do you remember why? Because he was a eunuch. And having been altered, he could not enter the temple of God. And so Peter goes to this person who is a believer, he's part of the community, but he's not allowed to be fully part. What's interesting about this is he's a foreigner, he's kept at the edge, but he's not yet that community that we think of, or maybe he's different than, the kind of impoverished Christianity and early Judaism that we think of. This is a man with power and wealth. And so that community begins to spread just a little. Then you get that unbelievable scene with Peter. His vision of the sheets being lowered and all of the animals clean and unclean on them, and God telling him to eat. And Peter saying, no, 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 I've never eaten anything that was unclean. Only for God to say it was never about the eating, but about the people in our world. And introducing him immediately to Cornelius, a Roman centurion and his family. And there, having this encounter that goes from the most powerful and wealthy, the person who represents everything that is against him, that one who is the Roman soldier, all the way down to the household slave. And the Holy Spirit pours out on them, I love this part, before Peter baptizes them. This is God's choice, he says. Not about Peter making up his mind, but about encouraging those who have not yet heard the good news that they are part of God's beloved. Then we get this worshiping of Jews and Gentiles together in Antioch. It's a very important moment in 11, but it really leads us to, okay, what do we do with these non-Jews? And if you remember from the book of Acts, there is this obsession with bodies all the way throughout, particularly with men's bodies. And this scene is all about that. Do they have to be circumcised to become part of the community? This is not a conversation we have in 2026, is it? No. They were having a real theological debate about what is God's welcome? Does it have conditions? Can we as a community begin to understand that God might be present in ways that we never imagined? Go back to Peter and Cornelius. Go back to Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Go back to the day of Pentecost. Could this be the way forward? To which, then, the answer is richly and for all time, yes. Paul, from there, takes the baton from Peter and begins those missionary journeys that fulfill what we read in Acts 1:8. You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. What I understand through all of the noise in the book of Acts, from all of the difficulty and the things that we see in this piece, that I want you to hear in this season, is that God's grace knows no bounds. The limits that we're tempted to put on it in our humanity, they are not God's limits. And for each and every one of us, when we think that we might be on the outs, the truth of the matter is that that's when God is most closely with us. God's good news is for everyone, everywhere, including you, right here. Amen.